And good afternoon to you. Thank you so much for being on board. Glad to have you with us here on a Tuesday afternoon. And this is kind of a holiday week all week long. A lot of folks taking tomorrow off, going to make it a long, long weekend. Our Bible college, they're all out. Last night was their last class until next Monday evening. And so far, we don't have anybody showed up for Facebook Live this afternoon. And so not sure if anybody was scheduled or not. So don't have that available at the moment. We are going to work on it, though, and see if we can get that up and running. All right? All right. Well, we're glad to have you this afternoon. Let me tell you about traffic woes. It looks like a Friday holiday weekend. We have got, I think it's all road construction, but we have got traffic that is super slow. It is now backed up from the Asheville Airport exit all the way back past Naples. And so it's all the way down I-26. This is all eastbound heading toward Asheville. And it is, it's pretty tough through there. And what's happening is it's turning a lot of traffic up 25 to get around that. So they're going to cut through. Well, there's a wreck now in on US 25 on the, they say it's on the south side, but it looks like to me that it's northbound is where it's happened at. And it's not far before you get back into there at the intersection of 280. And so it's up above Fletcher, actually, in the Oak Park section. Coming the other direction, you've got a lot of traffic coming out this afternoon. In the junction, it's slow. It moderates until you get down to near Biltmore Park, and then it's going to slow back down. Once you clear around Lake Julian, it'll pick up and you'll be fine on through, all the way through the mountain plateau. But it's not going to be a quick one this afternoon by any means. That has put a lot of pressure on 191 and 191-146 intersection. The bottom, Sandy Bottom, looks fine. But that intersection's backed up. 112 Sardis Road's looking fine. Got some slowdown on I-40 between I-26 and exit 44, the Smoky Park Highway. For folks that are traveling west, man, do we have a backup on both sides of the bridge replacement there at Fines Creek. And, it's really backed up. A lot of people heading out for the holidays and for the holiday weekend, and so we've got probably 2 miles of traffic eastbound, and we've got about that much westbound. It's back to the tunnels is where the backup is, and so both directions, quite a backup there. You have to exit off the interstate, go down the exit ramp and cross the road and go back up the other side to make it on your way, because they've torn the bridges out and those are going to be out till spring. Till spring. So anybody traveling in that direction, that's a big deal for sure. And just looking here, there are a lot of people making an early weekend out of it, because I'm looking at over around Pigeon Forge and all that. It's pretty busy. It sure is. Looking far west, we're okay. Let me back up here. And Greenville, you look like a Friday afternoon, too. We've got very slow heading north, starting at Highway 25, and it's going to be spotty, and you're going to stay in that till you get up to Pelham. Coming the other direction, it's backed up further than normal today. It's past the BMW plant coming down. It's off the pace by quite a bit. It'll pick back up once you pass Pelham, but then once you hit 385, you're back in the slow lane down till you clear 185, and then it'll pick back up. So that's what we can tell you right now about the traffic. As far as temperatures are concerned, we are at 37.9. If you've been out, had to work outside today, I'm just telling you, it's been a raw day. It's been a cold day to be outside. Asheville Airport was reporting 40. And this was at 6 minutes till 5, but it felt like 32 degrees because there's a north wind at 14 with gusts to 23. It was putting it down. And the humidity's up a little bit, so 35% humidity. And it's been cold today. I'm telling you, my face is about chafed, and it's been very cold. I've been on heavy equipment and stuff, and it's been a tough one. This is warm for January, but it's cold for right now. You know, we're not used to it. The Greenville-Spartanburg jet port at 7 minutes before 5, they were showing 48 degrees, so considerably warmer. They had a north wind at 9, but they still had brought their wind chill down to 44. So, yeah, even that. So, anyway, cool day to be outside and have to be out and about for sure. Let's look at what it's going to do. Tomorrow, 51 and sunshine. Tomorrow night, 29. Thanksgiving Day, sunny and 58. Thursday night, a good chance of showers and down around freezing. Going to watch that one pretty close, watching it with some interest. It's all about the timing of the showers versus the timing of the cold air. We're just going to see. This is what they're saying as it stands right now, okay? They are saying that even though we'll hit the freezing mark, that they have taken the word snow out of the forecast. Thursday night, a 50% chance of a shower, mainly between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 32. Southwest wind 6 to 15, becoming north-northwest after midnight, winds gusting as high as 23. So I'm mixed on it. I mean, we do have a possibility, especially the higher elevations can see the first snowfall of the season with this. A cold day to be shopping on Friday, 46, 24 Friday night, 52 Saturday, 30 degrees on Saturday night, 54 Sunday, 27 degrees on Sunday night, and then we're going to look at 50s, low 50s Monday and Tuesday, low of 28. So a little bit of a moderation for the latter part of November and the first part of December, okay? Listener's portion today on the 23rd is being sponsored by Mike and Connie Rogers in honor of God for giving Gary Rogers to be their dad and father-in-law. They're thankful for his faithfulness and service. They wish him the happiest of birthdays this Thursday, and they love him and thank the Lord for him. And so happy birthday in advance to both Gary Rogers and from Mike, Connie, and the boys. God bless you. And the FM sponsor today, Anonymous, in thankfulness to the Lord for his many blessings. Thank you so much. We're 2 days from Thanksgiving, 32 days from Christmas. Birthdays today, Tippy Guffey, James McDowell, Steve Wick from Miss Rose. Also belated wishes to Reagan Norris, who was 13 yesterday. God bless you. And God bless you. Appreciate all these folks. Congratulations. Let's very quickly check our roll call here for who is on board with us. And my mouse has disappeared. So I cannot find the mouse for up there. So I don't know what happened to it, but it's gone. And so I can't do the roll call today. I apologize. All right, so cannot do that today. Let me say that we're very grateful to the Lord for all the folks who have been involved and have helped us with the children, the feeding program this year, Change the World Christmas Feeding. And we want to say thank you to a lady today that brought in sponsorship for 1,000 children. She sure did. Brought in a $2,000 check. Thank you. God bless you. And so right now, this is so exciting. And this is at $2 a head. And I told you that was an average. It's going to allow us to, and I'm by the way, this goes out tomorrow, and it's going to allow us to do some extra stuff in Haiti. It's going to allow us to do some extra stuff in Venezuela. I didn't really have a budget for Venezuela, and so this is going to allow us to do that. So our budgets have been met on all of our countries, and we didn't have budgets in those two poorest countries. We were just going to see if we could take care of the other countries first. And as the Lord has had it, it's going to work out. So we bless the Lord for that. Thank you so much. And again, thank God for his provision, and thank God for his blessing. Let me just send out a special word today to Brother Vanny Solaris. He's in the hospital in Legazpi City, Philippines. After a colonoscopy and procedure, they found some things. They found out where the bleeding was coming from. It's not anything serious, but certainly needed to be dealt with. And so we're grateful for that and appreciate folks who are helping him with the hospital bill. He's had an extended stay, ended up having to go in early and then stay late in the hospital because of all the complications. And as a result of that, the hospital bill is going to be much more expensive than just a plain colonoscopy, endoscopy. It's going to be much more expensive than that. And so let me say thank you for those who have stood up to that task. We appreciate that very, very much. And appreciate all the folks who have helped out. God bless you. Thank you from the deep of our heart. Okay? It's been a blessing. It really has. By the way, tomorrow, our Christmas present to you, beginning at noon, the WGCR Music Channel will become the WGCR Christmas Channel. And we're excited about that. Look forward to that every year. And so tomorrow at noon, all Christmas, all the time. And we will also begin to have Christmas overnight on WGCR.net and WGCR-FM. And so that also begins tomorrow, Christmas overnight. And so we're excited about that. And, of course, bringing you many of your folks that you're familiar with, okay? All right, we're going to talk about the Rittenhouse trial. And we're going to talk about some things after sign-off of the AM. Stay tuned. All right, I can pull that down and change my headset back and say, all right, that was pretty close timing. I got one note out of the piano, and it went. Found the mouse. Yeah, it was in the wrong place, but I found it, all right? And so let's do the roll call right quick. We welcome Springdale, Arkansas, Los Angeles, California, in several places, Avon, Colorado. Good to have folks in the District of Columbia today. Madison, Indiana. Kevel, is it called Kevel or Kevel? Kevel, Kentucky. Lexington, Kentucky. Kies, Mecklenburg. What's that called? Mecklenburg. It's German. I couldn't say it anyway. Germany. Plymouth, let's see here. Plymouth, Minnesota. Nassau, New York. Grassy Creek, Raleigh, Hickory, Lenore, Morrisville, Arden, Hendersonville, Silva, Weaverville, Brevard. Did I say Hendersonville? I think I did. Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, a couple of places. Greenville, Greer, Fort Mill, South Carolina, Richardson, Texas. We know that Europe is with us today. The United Kingdom is lit up as well. And we have the Philippines on board. We're glad to have them. And Spring Grove, Virginia. Yeah, they're in alphabetical order this afternoon, so they round out the folks that are listening. Now, that's the ones we know about, and so thank you for being on board, and we appreciate that very much. And it looks like that we might be on Facebook now, because I got folks, good to see Ann and Ruth over in Marshall. All right, thank you. And we got folks up in Maine that are listening today. Thank you. God bless you. Got a couple of questions. Will the warehouse be open? And the answer is no. Today was the last day for the warehouse, and so we will not be open again until next Tuesday. Okay, so we are not open tomorrow, and we're never open on Wednesday, and we have Friday and Saturday off. See, almost of our help's gone, and so we couldn't open. We don't have the manpower, okay? And so. And 0770, I never can say it. Is it Coraban? Is it Coraban? Asking me about the product that kills mold. Very expensive, $30-something dollars a gallon. And it's not. Maybe it's not Coraban, maybe it's Coraban. Let me look it up on the Lowe's app here. We use it. Oh, they don't tell how many. We used and used and used it. I don't know how many pallets of it we've used. But let me just see if they've got mold spray and see if it comes up, because it's the chemical name of it. It's what that I'm talking about. Mold and mildew house siding cleaner. No, something. No, I don't see it. Core. No, I don't see it. There it is, right there. What's that called? Okay. Concrobium. Huh?
Concrobium.
Concrobium. The middle syllable. Concrobium. It is $10.68 for a 32-ounce squirt bottle. That's not the best way to buy it. They sell it in a bigger one than that. That stuff right there, and here's what it does. And I had to learn this. We use it in disaster all the time. Not only does it kill it, it leaves behind a almost like a like sandpaper, little sharp edges. And it inhibits the mold spores from growing on it because it pops them because they're sharp. So it's microbial. You can't see it. You can't feel it. But it leaves this little rough surface. And we had to have a house, the ministry had to have a house professionally done. And, you know, I've always used Clorox. But what they say about Clorox is that the breathing of the Clorox is just absolutely, you can't breathe Clorox, okay? It's very dangerous. Chlorine is a very dangerous thing for your lungs. But that's what we always use. We just use Clorox. But this stuff, of course, I wouldn't want to breathe this in any large quantity, but this stuff doesn't leave a bad odor. It kills whatever it is. I mean, it's absolutely kills it. But the biggest thing is it stops it from coming back. So, yeah, Concrobium, yeah. And it's very good. We have used it, and it's not just, I mean, you can get it other places, but we've used it in disaster when we can afford it. We can't always afford it, but it's available in gallons. So if you got a lot, probably what I'd do if I was doing mold mitigation, I would probably buy the squirt bottle, then I'd probably buy me the gallon refill, and I would go that way. You know, the gallon of Concrobium, it's 128-ounce liquid mold remover. You can get the gallon for $34.99. As you can see, it's much cheaper than buying the spray bottle, because it's 32 ounces of it's $10.68. So yeah, it's high. But you know, if you're dealing with mold, you don't want to do it but once. That's the way I look at it. There's some things I don't want the cheapest. You know, I'm gonna tell you, I'm a conservative when it comes to spending. I'm conservative when it comes, I mean, I'm conservative. I can't stand waste. I can't stand it. It's not just I don't like it. I can't stand it. I don't sleep at night if I waste something. So I guess learned that on the farm. You know, you didn't. Son, my grandpa invented recycling, you know. Between my grandma and my grandpa, they recycled everything. Everything but the pig squeal. I mean, they recycle everything. And so just the way it was raised. And you didn't shoot something unless you ate it, unless it was a varmint. You shoot varmints for the fun of it, but don't you shoot something that's edible. Save that for you might need to eat it. You don't go shoot squirrels for the fun of it. If you shoot them, you clean them and you eat them. And the same thing with fish. And everything else, you didn't do it for fun. That's not what you did. You ate it, okay? Or you kept the hide or whatever. There was a reason for, you know, there was a reason for taking it. Otherwise, you left it. That was just the code of the farm. And everything on the farm had a purpose, and everything on the farm pulled its own weight. We had cats. They didn't stay in the house. They stayed at the barn. They would keep the rats out of the pumpkins, out of the seed, out of the grain. So we had cats. They had to. Grandpa deliberately kept them hungry, so they would be on the hunt all the time. And it's just the way it was. So I can't stand. I've got almost like a phobia over somebody wasting something. And I just can't put up with it. So anyway, and I guess it's come in handy over time. And to God be the glory. Let's talk about some things, okay? Let's talk about, a lot of people have been asking about the Rittenhouse trial and all the things. Somebody asked me, did I see it? And the answer is no, I didn't see it. I don't have time for that. Somebody said, did you read about it? Well, limited, a limited amount that I read about it. So I didn't actually see the video, but I heard about it. I didn't actually see the trial, but I heard about it. And I heard about the verdict. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to shock you, okay? This is going to shock you. This was Friday afternoon. Mr. Biden apparently was asked in some sort of impromptu setting, because you could hear him, he wasn't on mic, he was off mic, and they said to him, what do you think about the Rittenhouse trial, the verdict? Now, he had said prior, he as the chief law enforcement officer of America, had actually weighed in and was trying to, in my opinion, he was trying to use his office to sway the outcome, which is absolutely wrong. Once a trial begins, everybody should shut up. I'm serious. They should hush about it because you want justice. Well, I want this outcome. No, what you want is justice. Well, I think we ought to have this outcome. No, what you want is justice. Okay? You want justice. If we're going to preserve our American way of life, you want justice, okay? You may not want your outcome. You want justice. And understand what justice is. Justice is not innocence in the presence of God and in the presence of a jury are two different things. They're not always the same. Sometimes they can be, but it's not always the same. Our process of justice in this country is push and pull. It is. It's give and take. And sometimes the better lawyer wins. It has nothing to do with guilt or innocence. Sometimes juries turn guilty people loose on technicalities. And on occasion, an innocent person goes to jail. But can I tell you that our system is set up to actually prohibit that? And our system of justice was designed, we see Lady Justice with a blindfold and with a scale in her hand. I want to say this, and I'm serious when I say this. For that statue to be exactly correct, we need to take her finger and put on one side of that scale a little bit. And here's why. Our system of justice is designed to let guilty people walk rather than innocent people be convicted. Any jury, any judge, any prosecutor, any lawyer will tell you our justice system leans in favor of the accused in so many areas. In other words, we'd rather have guilty people walk in the streets than innocent people in prison. Does it happen? Yes, it has happened. But our system is designed with a little bit of a tilt to protect people's rights as Americans. Okay, having said that, let me give you this right quick from the news desk. Structure fire at Pine Leaf Drive, electrical fire in the wall. It should be in the Fletcher area. Okay. Earlier, there was a motor vehicle accident at Tracy Grove and Dana Road in Henderson County. Thank you. Appreciate that. So I listened and watched to, I was listening. I didn't get to watch it. Most people think I go home and sit and watch the talk shows at night, and that's not true. Number one, I'm rarely home. Number two, I deliberately don't. My wife won't put up with it, but I deliberately don't watch the nightly news talk shows. Well, somebody said, you'd know more about things if you did. Yeah, but I would be a parrot repeating what they say. I like you know, those, some of those guys. But I, the other part of it is, if they say something that makes me mad, then I'm going to get on a soapbox and I'm going to spend my time refuting what they said. I don't know what they said today, so I don't know. I'm not. I hate to say this, but I'm gonna say it. I'm not interested in their opinions. I'm interested in facts and figures. And if I could just get facts and figures, then I'd be fine. But they grind their opinion, and I'm just not into that. Okay. Let me form my own opinion. I just need the facts and figures. Okay? Because they'll spend 30 minutes on a story pounding their opinion. And somebody said, well, it's news. Well, those shows are for entertainment purposes, folks. Okay? They really are. And, you know, Tucker Carlson has been in the top slot in nightly TV ratings. I mean, he's beat everybody. I mean, a few months back, he beat ABC, NBC, and CBS in primetime. More Americans watched Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity than watched free television over the air. CNN's not even in the running. Can you believe weak little CBS beat CNN? So, I mean, pitiful. But they're all about the ratings. And so they do things to get the ratings. It's about ratings, okay? And so, yeah, this is exactly where I'm going. It 5371, it puts the burden on the government to prove its case. It does. And we say that a man is innocent till proven guilty. Okay? So here's the bottom line. A young man probably shouldn't have went out on that street. Probably shouldn't have went out armed with an AR-15. Okay? But I will say this, from everything I'm hearing, he's quite an intelligent young man. He's very articulate. He was on television last night. Everybody was talking about the job that he did. I've not seen it. But here is the basic issue, okay? Here's the basic thing. You know, a guy pointed a gun at him, and he shot him. He didn't die, but he shot him, right? The guy that had the gun, he didn't die. Shot him in the bicep, right? I think I'm right on that. Well, nobody said anything about the guy and the pistol. You know, I mean, everybody know he's a felon? Convicted felon, and he had a pistol. Anybody talk about that? In other words, he had no right to have that gun. I told somebody, I said, you know what? We need to pass a law that says that convicted felons can't have handguns. I said, well, duh, they're already one. Well, what good did it do? More stringent laws are for law-abiding people. Right now, the left is pitching a fit over the guy that... and the parade and all the things. I've been right through Waukesha. I've been through there. I know where that's at. I know hometown. I mean, I know where that's at. But my point is, if you want to kill somebody, you don't need a gun. He proved that he was already, can use a car and had been arrested twice before the same day, hadn't he?
Same week. Yes.
Bottom line is this. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. And it proves that if you can't, you don't need a handgun to commit mass homicide. You don't need a weapon of mass destruction to kill a lot of people. Use your car. Any sidewalk in America. Okay. So here's where I'm at, okay? And here's what I'm saying. It was a victory for self-defense. across America. Because our Constitution gives us the right to bear arms. And then statutes across America give us the right to protect ourselves. Now, I can't speak to every state. They're different. But let me tell you about North Carolina, because I can speak to that one. If in North Carolina you believe that somebody is going to cause you serious bodily harm, is going to sexually molest you, or is going to kill you, those three triggers, those three keys change everything. Okay? We've got a man on the ground that's dead from a gunshot wound. The person who fired it, now we have to make a decision. Did they fear for their life? Did they fear that they were going to be inflicted serious bodily harm? Or number three, did they feel like that they were going to be, there was the reason to believe, was there reasonable evidence to believe they were going to be sexually molested? If those three things are present in North Carolina, you have the right to use deadly force in this state. Period. But let's take it one step further. If you come upon another situation and someone is being sexually molested and you come upon it, you have the right to use appropriate force. If someone is being serious or being inflicted serious bodily harm, you have the right to use appropriate force. If somebody is holding somebody else at gunpoint, you think they're going to kill them, you have the right to use appropriate force. And what it amounts to is, in North Carolina, would 12 people agree with your decision to use the amount of force that you did? Would 12 people of reasonable firmness, now this is the law, reasonable firmness, what does that mean? I always said half sense. If you have reasonable firmness, if 12 people would say it was reasonable for that man to pull the trigger, it was reasonable because of this is going to be the outcome. A bloody nose, that's not inflicting serious bodily harm. That's not what that is. So you can't shoot somebody for giving you a bloody nose. But if they hurt you beyond that, I mean, if you're scared for your life, if you're worried they're going to serious bodily harm, or if there's sexual molestation involved, it changes from a homicide to a self-defense. And this is what happened in the Rittenhouse trial. Let's take that to a different level. And let me say this. I wonder if the boy had a squirrel gun. If he had a .22 caliber squirrel gun, would he have ever went to trial? You see, he had an assault weapon. Now, number one, there is no such thing as an assault weapon. That's a media done thing. Somebody said, well, these large magazines, they ought to be outlawed. Well, how far are you willing to take it? You see, a lot of your folk who say that they say, well, you shouldn't have but so many, I'll use the term warhead for lack of a, you know, projectile. It can only have so many projectiles. Are you going to outlaw shotguns? You know how many projectiles shotgun shells have in them? You know one of the most dangerous things to a crowd of people? It's not an AR-15. AR-15, you got to pull the trigger each time. You know the most dangerous thing? And it shoots one round at a time. The most dangerous thing is when you pull the trigger and it emits a large number of projectiles, as does a shotgun. That's dangerous. That's more dangerous than these rifles. People say, well, what? And even the president, he said, well, what are you going to do? Take on the American military? What are you going to do? You have to have these assault rifles for, what are you going to do? A lot of you don't remember. I think it was in Los Angeles. A long time ago. The police at that time were probably still carrying 38 specials, probably. They could have, by that time, have graduated to a Glock 9. Don't remember. But I do know this. Two guys went into a bank, broad daylight, with body armor, and robbed the bank. They walked outside in full armor with either automatic or semi-automatic weapons, and they outgunned the police department badly. Officers were down everywhere. They were shooting through cars and hitting officers. Let me tell you how bad it got. The police department went down to a sporting goods store and grabbed AR-15s, AK-47s, all of those weapons, and came back. They also took an armored truck. In that day, it was a Wells Fargo armored truck. They took it away from the truck driver, and they used the armored truck to go in and get their wounded out. They were so far outgunned that they had to go to a sporting goods store to be able to put these guys down. And eventually they did take them down. Fully auto AKs. So here's what I'm saying. The bad guys have the big guns. The bad guys have fully automatic guns. The bad guys have all of these things. And then you tell the good guys, the law-abiding people, no, you can't have that. I've said this from the beginning. The thing that deters a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a bigger gun. It's the only thing he'll respect. And this thing of the militarizing the police department, son, in some of these towns, they need tanks to patrol the streets in. I wouldn't go on the west side of Chicago in a tank. I'm afraid they'd firebomb it. Ain't no way I'd go down through there with a tank. It's that bad. Police won't even go in there. And I got people helping me here. The North Hollywood, 1997. Yeah, so they'd have had Glock 9s by then. But here's the question. If we're going to outlaw assault, quote-unquote assault rifles, if we're going to outlaw those, are we going to outlaw SUVs? Was that not the murder weapon used in the parade? Was that not an SUV that was used? We're going to outlaw those. It was a cab over truck that was used in France. Remember the guy that ran over all the people? Remember that? We're going to outlaw those. What about the woman in the car that ran over so many people in a parade? Remember that? Remember that? Yeah. My point is, are we going to outlaw jetliners? Because that was the weapon in 9/11. Look how many people died in that. And we're all still paying for that. And the one dude that had some kind of liquid something in his shoe that tried to blow up a plane after that, now we can't even take a Coke onto an airplane unless you buy it inside, and they're $4 for a stinking Coke inside the thing. You got to throw yours in the trash can and go buy you a $4 Coca-Cola to get on the airplane with. Yeah. So, and I'm going to venture on this one, and people are not going to like it. Okay. And I'm a little on the edge on this one, but let me say if. Okay, if. There's another trial went on. And I realize there was a lot of law breaking going on. I realize the guy's a bad guy. But if he could not hear, the police call out police, come out with your hands up. And he was asleep in his bedroom. And he sees a rifle barrel through the window. And people barge into his bedroom with guns in the dark, and he don't know who it is. There's something called the castle doctrine. You have the right to defend your domicile. And I realize it played the wrong direction in this one. It really did. This is a bad guy himself. But the bottom line is he's an American. The bottom line is he has rights. And if the police make a mistake, and apparently they think that he did, or the jury thought that they did, if he didn't know, he was a drug dealer. They were there to steal his drugs. That's what he thought. So he's trying to protect his home from being burglarized. He's trying to protect his home. So I said, yeah, but he's a lawbreaker. Still, he has rights. He's an American. Okay? And the whole, you know, the whole no-knock warrant thing, while there are some people that you do not want them to have 5 seconds notice that you're there, and I get that. But at the same time, if they're fugitive, if a variety of other things, then, you know, you don't have to, you know, they don't give them that. I get it. And I've got law enforcement friends. I got law enforcement in our church. Love law enforcement. But at the same time, you've got to respect where a man's sleeping at. You know, you just got to. And a man in a cold sleep, and somebody's in the bedroom, what's the reaction? Probably somebody's going to get shot. So I realize there are situations to where it's harmful to police. I know that. I realize there are situations that you don't give them. I mean, especially with fugitives, you don't need, you know, there are certain conditions that you don't need warrants, okay, when you're pursuing someone. That's different. What I'm talking about is when you go in and you enter a home and you don't clearly label who you are and why you're there, then there's a risk involved. And in this case, I'm just saying that we have to weigh where the line is at. Remember back when they used to tell you, well, if somebody tries to break in your home, you need to shoot them out on the porch and then drag them inside? Remember that? Remember that old saying they used to say that? You know, that changed in America. That changed, well, not in America, but changed in North Carolina. That's no longer the case. Your home is your castle. But I'm going to take it a step further. Wherever you are, your domicile, wherever you are sleeping, is your castle. And that thing, somebody tries to come in your tent on you, in the sleeper of your truck, in your camper, in your hotel room, You have the right to defend yourself. Okay? You just do. You have the right to defend yourself from an unknown, from an unknown assailant. You have the right. So, all right. Well, thank you for being with us this afternoon. And I know not everybody's going to agree with that. I know. And again, I don't like the way it played. The circumstances behind it are terrible. And yet, so, okay. No, I'm not a militia guy. Nope. We've been approached by them, even befriended by some of them on some disasters and some other things. Once we figured out who it was, we wanted nothing to do with them. Don't want around that bunch. They scare me. I don't want nothing to do with them. But what I am talking about is protecting my home and my family. And I'll take it up a notch, protecting our congregation when they're on this property. We take it very seriously. I had someone this past week. There was a situation that a male was assaulting a female. She needed some help. And so they were going to bring her to our warehouse to get some help. And the question was asked, well, what if he shows up? And my answer was, it won't be a good day for him. Because we have zero tolerance for that mess. Okay? Just not going. Wesley Grant. Many of you don't remember Wesley. Wes was a black preacher. He pastored the Worldwide Baptist Tabernacle in Asheville on Choctaw Street. I knew Wesley. I knew him. I knew him and Miss Hun both. And he was a gentleman, man. He was a Southern gentleman. And they'd get to preaching. One time Ralph Sr. was preaching about something. And something going on in the church, something, I don't know. Wesley Grant jumped up and hollered, "They ain't gonna do it at Worldwide." Worldwide Baptist Tabernacle. Ain't gonna do it at Worldwide. Let me tell you something. Yeah, he's in the life storybook. His name's in the life storybook of Ralph Sexton Sr. I'm like Wesley Grant. Ain't gonna do it at Anchor. It might do it at other places, but ain't gonna do it at Anchor. No. Won't work here. No, it won't work here. So, got too many police officers. Got too many law enforcement. Got too many folks who, just this is the wrong place. Yeah. So anyway, thank you for that. Anyway, and Arkansas has Stand Your Ground. North Carolina has Stand Your Ground. South Carolina does, and most red states have Stand Your Ground laws. And you no longer have to retreat. It used to be you had to retreat. And if somebody else was retreating, then they were safe. You wake up and you see somebody leaving your bedroom, even though they got a gun in their hand, if they're leaving and you shoot them in the back, you are in trouble. Problem is, how do you know that they're not going to, as they go out the door, we're going to point that gun and shoot toward the bed? How do you know that? No, if they're in your bedroom, even if they're walking away from you, even if they're trying to get away from you, if they're in your house, they shouldn't be there. And by the way, let's drop back to the gun laws a minute. I said a while ago, If you have, I said about sexual molestation, serious bodily injury, or death. Now, let me add one more tenet to that. Do you have the legal right to be there? And do you have the legal right to be there with the firearm that you're holding? Do you? You must fulfill that one. So if you don't have the right to be there, and another thing is, if you started it, if you instigated the ruckus and you use force to stop it, it won't hold water. But if you didn't instigate it and you have a legal right to be there with your weapon, and those other tenets apply, then the law is on your side. I can't imagine how that young man feels. I know he's been brokenhearted. I know he has. He suffered more than most because they put him in jail for 2 months with no running water. 2 months. No running water. In a cell with no running water for 2 months. That's not even being talked about. I would say he's going to be a very rich young man. Don't know. Because I think there's some lawsuits coming that he'll win. I do. I think he will. So. All right. Thank you for being on board. Thank God again for his goodness and grace, and appreciate the mercy of the Lord. And we give God the glory for the day and for everything that the Lord continues to do. Amen. We do. We give God the glory for everything that he continues to do. Yep. All right. And let me just say this. I understand that not everybody agrees to everything I say. I get that. But I appreciate folks disagreeing in an agreeable fashion. Just because somebody has a different viewpoint doesn't give you the right to attack them. Doesn't give you the right to be, you can have the right position and have the wrong disposition about it. And so I'm not here to pick fights. I'm not here to be controversial. I'm not here for ratings. I'm here to discuss things that are fundamental to our way of life, trying to preserve the American way of life, trying to preserve the heritage of our mountains, trying to preserve the Constitution of one of the original colonies. I mean, our Constitution goes back and predates the American Constitution. The North Carolina Constitution predates the American Constitution. The federal constitution. So what I'm saying is that I think there's just some things that as a conservative, as a fundamentalist, as someone who is a patriotic, and tears up when you see the red, white, and blue, I never fought. I've had somebody tell me the other day that, what war were you? And I wasn't. I have fought the war of Transylvania County for 37 years. No, I was never in the military. They wouldn't even let folks in. All of Vietnam was coming out, and they were so full, they were trying to downsize. And so they had just, I just missed the draft. And they were all coming out. And so the only way you could get in during those days was with a college education, pretty much. Yeah. About the only way you could get in. And so I never even had a recruiter talk to me. Never. Never had a recruiter, not once, ever talk to me. Isn't that something? They weren't recruiting. They weren't taking anybody. That's how bad it was. So... no, I never served in the military. Somebody said, well, you've been into Iraq. Yeah, but I was a reporter. I went in as an embed. I was in Kuwait and flew into Kuwait and then went up to Saudi Arabia and then the edge of Iraq. That was all part of a missions trip, actually, that we're using the press credentials to try to find a man. And actually, the Iraqis had killed him. So they had buried him in an unknown grave in the sand. So we never did find him. Never could find any trace of him. They killed him in the first wave of the invasion into Saudi Arabia, or actually into Kuwait, rather, into Kuwait. He was in Kuwait City, and they killed him. So, but I was there about a month, and I've seen some things that's pretty tough, but never served. But I will say this, I've tried to serve my country as a citizen. I've tried to serve my country as a God-fearing, tax-paying, somebody who believes in the Constitution and believes in the rule of law. And as long as everybody leave us alone, there's a whole bunch of people that'll do the same thing. There's a whole bunch of people that believe the same thing, and they just want to live their lives, leave them alone. They don't want the drama. They don't want all the things. They don't want to kill nobody. They just won't be left alone. That's all. Just leave them alone. So anyway, okay? All right. Thank you for being on this afternoon, and appreciate you following us. Thank you so much. God bless you. Let's seek the Lord together if we can. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for your mercy, your grace, your goodness. We pray for those that are in need this afternoon for every request. Lord, I pray that you'd meet it according to your riches and mercies by Christ Jesus. Pray for our nation. Lord, I pray for our country. I pray, Lord, for, Lord, the great struggle that's going on over the very rule of law, respect for law enforcement officers, and on it goes. Lord, I pray. Lord, we've already seen it, the pendulum swing far left. Lord, may it swing back right. And Lord, may truth and righteousness be upheld to your glory. Bless you, people, we pray and ask in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for being on board, and appreciate those that prayed for Brother Vanny, and he mentions that. Thank you. God bless you. I'm Pastor Randy Barton. Till we meet again, whether on the air or in the air, may God richly bless you, is our prayer.